From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Ledson. At the end of each show, you hear me say there's always more to the story. And today, we find out where some of those stories lead through a project we launched called Reveal's Reporting Network. More than 800 journalists have signed on. We provide each of them with data and reporting techniques so they can see how stories we've covered are playing out in their communities. Just after the Super Bowl last February, we brought you a story about concussions in high school sports. We focused in on Oregon, where reporter Lee Vandervoo had a simple question. How many high school athletes there get concussions?
We asked for 2 years of these records from all the public high schools in Oregon. That's 235 schools. And we looked at which sports had a lot of concussions at which schools, whether they had happened in big districts or small ones. And we also just wanted to see who was following the law.
Don't states enforce it?
Actually, no, there's no enforcement mechanism. So at minimum, we thought this could be a really good audit. Do people do this if nobody checks? At the end, it was really hard to be confident in how well the laws were being followed.
Every state has a law requiring the kids who bang up their heads playing sports in high school get taken out of games or practice. Many say a medical professional has to clear them before they can play again. Lee found that these laws are designed to prevent individual athletes from getting a second concussion. They're not set up to prevent concussions in the first place. Lee wanted to know what Oregon had learned after a decade of pulling kids out of games because of head injuries.
Our data showed something like 600 concussions or suspected concussions over 2 years at schools. That gave us enough good data to use.
600 knocked heads, is that a lot?
Well, if you break it out, it's roughly 50 concussions per 1,000 athletes. So anecdotally, as the person who enters those in a spreadsheet one by one, I can tell you that sometimes it really looks like a lot. 5 per game, 4 per game.
Based on Lee's experience, we made a list of questions that anyone could ask to find out how their school handled head injuries. More than 150 people got on the list, including Michael DeJoanna in Colorado. He's a reporter with KUNC Public Radio.
I knew basically nothing. I don't cover sports. And if I've covered concussions at all, it's been through my military reporting.
Using our guide as a starting point, Michael started asking school districts how they handle concussions. Eventually, he met the mom whose son became the name and face of Colorado's concussion law. Michael takes the story from here.
Okay, we're working.
I take my computer over to Kelly Jantz because she can't get an old video of her son to play.
Let's see, make sure we have sound.
I set my laptop on a crowded table. Kelly works in a hospital. We're in a small room there. She's taking a break to meet with me.
It's coming up. It says Jake's video. Let's see. This should be play.
The sentimental music makes Kelly smile. Photos of her son as a young teenager flash by.
Number 40. There he is right there.
Number 40, Jake Snakenberg, doing what he loved, playing football for Grandview High School in Aurora, Colorado.
There he goes.
Kelly hasn't seen this video in years, but she knows every beat. She leans in and adjusts her glasses as pictures move by. She's so totally focused on the small screen that she seems to forget that I'm there. Kelly's looking for something.
This is gonna be it, I bet.
Her son barrels through defenders to score a touchdown. It's not the touchdown that Kelly's been waiting to see. It's the big grin on Jake's face, slightly hidden by his helmet, a mixture of humbleness and joy. This is always Jake Snakenberg, forever 14 years old. Some of these images are from the day he died in 2004.
I just miss it. It's hard because, I mean, he loved what he did. If we'd just known, you know? But it just not.
If she'd just known more about concussions. In the week before his death, Jake had complained of tingling hands after a hit in a football game. It didn't seem serious, but it turned out to be. Apparently, his brain had been hurt, too. So when he got hit again in the next game, his brain swelled up so much that it killed him. This double concussion is called second impact syndrome, but Kelly had never heard of it, even though she's a nurse and her husband's a doctor. Back then, they knew football could be dangerous, just not this dangerous.
We didn't know then how great the consequences could be. We didn't have that information.
Kelly had no idea if this sort of thing was common. She didn't even know how often other high school athletes got concussions. And without that big picture information, looking back, she felt she couldn't make a good decision about whether to let her son play.
It's hard, you know. Would I have yanked him out of football? I don't know.
But she did know that something had to change so other kids wouldn't die playing high school sports. It took over 6 years. Kelly joined forces with school and sports officials and got the ear of then-state Senator Nancy Spence.
Jake Snakenberg was a constituent of mine, a student at Grandview High School. I didn't know him and I didn't know his family. But his mother came to me and asked me if I would be willing to carry the bill.
The Health and Human Services Committee will come to order.
In a packed state capitol hearing room in February of 2011, Kelly Jantz made her case. She told senators they could save lives by passing a law requiring coaches to pull young athletes out of play if they hurt their heads.
Setting a strict guideline for return to play sends the message to everyone, to coaches, parents, and the kids, that the consequences of a concussion must be taken seriously.
Support was widespread. Parents, players, coaches, even Joe Brown, a top NFL executive, and Billy Thompson, the former Denver Broncos defensive back, showed up. Senator Spence, a Republican, easily found allies in her own party.
The motion is for the adoption of Senate Bill 40. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed, no.
As well as among Democrats, all the way up to the governor, who signed it.
Senate Bill 40 passes.
Colorado's youth concussion law is similar to Oregon's and every other state's around the country. Athletes suspected of having a concussion must be pulled out of practice or competition. Almost every law says they can't return until a medical professional says it's okay in writing. Colorado's law goes further than many because it covers athletes as young as 11 in club and rec leagues, not just schools. The law passed with strong support, but not without a warning from then-state Senator Sean Mitchell, another Republican. He said there was no way to make sure the law would make a difference, no way to hold anyone accountable for safety.
This bill has no teeth. There's no enforcement provision. There's no penalty provision. There's not even a reporting provision.
No state laws like this require anyone to keep track of concussions. So like Lee found in Oregon, it's hard to be confident how well Colorado's law is being followed. I got on the phone with a guy who had helped shape the law back then.
Well, Bert, I appreciate you taking the time out.
Not a problem.
Bert Borgman lobbies for the Colorado High School Activities Association. We call it CHASA. They make the regulations for high school sports. He remembers the goal when writing the law was to ensure kids who got hurt stopped playing, not to count how many kids got hurt.
We were looking for the educational resources that we could provide to help get them into the appropriate treatments as necessary, you know, those kinds of things.
Under Colorado law, coaches get educated. They're required to take a concussion training course every year. But because there's no requirement that schools keep track of head injuries, it is almost impossible to see how that training translates to the field. How many kids get pulled from play? Which schools or teams have the most head injuries? Former Senator Spence says that would be a lot to ask.
And I don't think that there's a way you could trace that. Every coach of every sport of every kid from 11 to 18, it's difficult.
But we found a way to start using Reveal's pocket guide plus the Colorado Open Records Act. And I showed the senator what we found.
6,000 concussions?
6,000.
The records we got showed that Colorado students were pulled out of play for head injuries 6,000 times. That number spans the last 5 years. But the true number must be much higher because we only got good data from 6 school districts. That's 6 out of 178 districts in Colorado.
In the big school districts in rural, in Metro Denver?
In five larger school districts. That would include Cherry Creek.
But it didn't include Denver because they wouldn't give you any data.
Denver is the largest district in the state. They told me that athletic trainers at each school have head injury information, but they don't track or report any injuries publicly. Other districts told us they don't even keep track of concussions. But every district we spoke to says it takes head injuries seriously. I show the data I have to Don Comstock, a national concussion guru.
Love it, love it, love it, love it whenever anybody collects data.
Don's a researcher at the University of Colorado's School of Public Health. She runs a big database that analyzes youth sports head injuries collected from a sampling of schools around the country. The two of us are in my office, and we're squinting at tiny type on my computer screen.
Oh, let's see if I can hold the jacket.
Can you scoot it over?
Scoosh, there we go.
We find a way to zoom in. We're looking at a chart from one school district. It tallies up the number of times students were pulled with head injuries.
Oh, that's the school?
Yeah.
Okay, so this school and year. Right.
So this would be Cherry Creek.
Cherry Creek Schools. It's one of the state's largest districts, and it's where Jake Snakenberg played football.
We see football here.
Yeah, that's what you'd expect. Football should be the big hairy beast that drives most of this.
Big hairy beast. In other words, football has the most head injuries that pulled kids out of games, one-third of the total in Cherry Creek. Schools don't decide whether a student has had a concussion. They leave that to medical professionals, and even then, it's both an art and a science. Football is not the only hairy beast that Don is checking.
Where's your girls' soccer?
It's boys' soccer, softball.
It's boys' soccer. So usually...
Girls' soccer right
there
here.
There you go.
So
we'd expect it to be just a little bit higher than boys' soccer, which it is, it looks like. Yeah?
Yeah.
So that's pretty similar to what we'd expect.
Here's the thing about numbers. They have the power to make athletes safer. They can catch things coaches or players might never think of. Like at what age hitting the ball is safer in soccer, or how often football teams should have full contact practice. Don gets very detailed information from the high schools where she does research, like where on the court or field did the injury happen? Has this student had a similar injury before? What kind of drills does the coach regularly run?
We ask every single week, mm-hmm. How many days this week did mm-hmm. your coach have full contact drills? They should not have more than three.
She found that concussion rates in football went down by 20% nationally after teams limited full contact practices, even though not all schools did it.
So if all the schools would follow the recommendation, the effectiveness of this intervention would be even bigger.
Wow. 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 It's amazing how epidemiology can help us.
We can do some fun things.
Don looks only at numbers aggregated from different high schools in different places. The 6,000 suspected concussions that I found all track back to specific Colorado school districts. But because each district collects different information, if any at all, we can't dig in like Don does. For example, we can't see whether coaches run drills that regularly put players at a high risk. Without good, consistent local numbers, Don says there just can't be real accountability.
Right now, because we don't have good enough data to really do school-to-school direct comparisons. I think that means that we need to avoid pointing blame at any individual school.
Don says state high school activities associations have the power to require schools to collect useful local data. In Colorado, again, that's CHASA.
CHASA needs to take accountability for either promoting recommendations or actually installing requirements for evidence-based interventions mm-hmm. that either have been proven to be effective or that have strong probability of being effective.
So what does CHASA think? I go to CHASA headquarters. It's a small building across from a condo complex in Aurora. I'm buzzed in through a security door.
Jen Roberts-Ulig.
Once inside, I meet Jen Roberts-Ulig, an assistant commissioner at CHASA. I ask her, should they require schools to track concussions? Should they do it in a way that would let people compare schools or coaches?
Would CHASA then advance or advise for a state law or of some sort, or make it a rule that from CHASA?
That's a great question.
CHASA
I mean,
would say you have to do this, and if you don't do this, you can't play.
I think before we could go down that road, we'd definitely have to make sure we have it very lined out what we're looking for.
She says a CHASA committee is starting to explore the idea. Right now, Colorado law makes students who might have a concussion stop playing until they're cleared by a medical professional. It doesn't try to measure how well that's working or find ways to lower the number of head injuries that happen or hold anyone accountable for doing either of those things. I take the records I dug up to Cherry Creek Schools. Larry Bull is the athletic director there. We calculated that about 3% of Cherry Creek's athletes were pulled out of play for head injuries each of the past 3 years. That's roughly similar to other Colorado districts with enough data to compare. But it's about 3 times as high as Michigan, the only state that collects and publishes comprehensive concussion numbers. The raw number is 721 head injuries in Cherry Creek over 3 years. I ask Larry Bull what he thinks about that.
Is that a lot to you? Does that sound like a lot?
It does, because I would have to go, I don't have it memorized, but I would have to go back.
But he looks over all my paperwork and finally agrees the district's data is accurate.
Yeah, that's probably right. Maybe I'm just shocked.
Shocked at the number of suspected concussions in his own district. In addition to the big hairy beast of football, almost 9% were in girls' soccer. More than 7% were in cheerleading. Even from the basic information Cherry Creek provided, I can see head injuries climbed steadily, up almost 12% in 3 years. Those calculations are simple. They didn't take me long to do. So why shouldn't Cherry Creek put these numbers out every year for parents, students, and anyone else to see?
Do you support the public release of
yes and no
data? Yes and no.
Yes.
Okay. And no.
What is the yes and what?
We are not opposed to this data being public.
That's Abby Smith, who's also sitting at the table. She's the district's director of communications.
If the public wants to know, great. Put it out there. Come up with a form, put it out there, and make it something that everybody has. But I think there's what is going to be used with that data.
We're not opposed to publicly publishing that somehow, if that's some sort of state requirement or something that groups come to suggest would be a recommendation that would make kids safer.
They have no plans to do that now. But if you want to ask your school district for head injury numbers like I did, text HEAD to 474747. That's HEAD to 474747. We'll send you a short list to get you started, not just about numbers, but concussion policies. In Cherry Creek, athletic director Larry Bull says he's sure high school athletes are safer than they were a generation ago because of Jake Snakenberg's death on that football field in 2004.
Yes, the Snakenberg law has made a difference. 100% made a difference.
One big change, Bull says people are watching for concussions now. Anyone can step up and tell a school official they think a player has a head injury. Like many districts in the state, Cherry Creek follows a gradual return-to-play protocol so athletes have the time to heal. So on a freezing Friday night, I go to watch the last regular season Cherry Creek High School football game. They're playing Grandview, the team that Jake Snakenberg was on. The game looks a lot like that video I was watching with his mom, Kelly. Same white, blue, and black uniforms as 15 years ago. Same songs from the band. Same happy fans. I don't see any brutal hits or anyone pulled out. But it's still tackle football. Kelly Jantz lost Jake in an ordinary game like this.
And I watched him take a pretty hard hit in warm-ups, like one that caught my attention. Then during the game, he lined up, you know, and he set, and then he fell forward. And he was trying to get up, and you could tell something wasn't quite right, and he turned to come to the sideline, and he went down, and that was it.
K Kelly says the Colorado law was an important change, but she wants more. 3 years ago, she took her son's story to Washington, D.C.
He cared for those in his life. He had a joy about him.
Kelly told a House committee gathering research on youth sports concussions that parents, schools, coaches, and students need comprehensive data. There's been a bill to do that, languishing in Congress since 2015. Kelly thinks numbers might eventually erase the disbelief she still runs into.
I still feel like there's a lot of, it doesn't happen that often. And, what happened to Jake? That's so rare. And, you know, there's still a culture out there to kind of butt up against.
Kelly was as surprised as anyone by the 6,000 head injuries we uncovered. But in that big number, she sees some good. 6,000 kids who were hurt, then pulled out of play to heal. She's glad of that.
It feels so good to know that maybe in those 6,000, maybe there are some kids who avoided long-term problems or suffering, ending up like Jake. God, that means the world to me.
Thanks to Michael DeJuana for bringing us that story. Michael is an investigative reporter at KUNC Public Radio in Greeley, Colorado. When we come back, our colleagues in Kentucky had a look at some data we put together on sexual assault, and they discovered a surprising story about how prosecutors and police in Louisville deal with rape cases.
How you doing?
Fine.
You care if I come in?
Sure.
What's going on? You're by yourself or somebody else in here with you?
There was like 5 or 6 officers, and I was really like nervous, like even open the door to them.
That's coming up next on Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX.